All right, Thursday night and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good as always. Be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Just one thing off the pregame. You know what? It's just funny to me because I remember lots and lots of quote-unquote Christians talking about how horrible Trump is. And now I'm just going back because I can remember, I'm 56, I can remember all the quote-unquote politicians and presidents that evangelical Christians, and of which I am one, proudly so, approved of. You remember? I mean, whether it was George W. Bush, Herbert Walker Bush, Reagan, whatever, and of course the other various nominees that didn't win, like McCain and Romney and all the rest of them, all of which I voted for also. But they were also against Trump, and I could name names right now, but I'm not going to do that at the moment. And now Trump is the one. He's the only one that ever, in the history of the presidency, has shown up at the March for Life. The only one. The other ones talk about the March for Life, but don't actually show up at the March for Life. He's the only one that actually overturned Roe v. Wade. What about W. Bush? What about Herbert Walker Bush? What about Reagan? Not. Didn't happen. Never happened. All the other various politicians in positions of power never did a daggum thing. But Trump, and listen, I'm not saying Trump's a Christian at all. I'm not. But I'm just wondering once again, just like all the COVID caving Christians, all the pastors that closed their churches dutifully collaborated with the New World Order and never have come out and said that they're wrong, dutifully collaborate with the baby butchers and the murderers, the vaccine pimps and whores and the Anthony Fauci's of the world and the Francis Collins's of the world, just willfully bowed the knee to all of them. Didn't just bow the knee, bent over. Just like they bowed to all of that, but yet, and they never have said that they're wrong. I'm wondering where all the retractions are from all of those Christians. Wrong about Trump, because he's the one that actually forms a White House faith office to make sure that you who oppose Donald Trump as an evangelical Christian aren't discriminated against. That's pretty neat, isn't it? I'm waiting, Aaron. Are you going to wait? Are we going to hold our breath and wait for the retractions? I guess not. There's not someone like Beth Moore. I'm just waiting for the retraction, Beth.
Ugh.
Just want to see it. I mean, I'd love to see the retraction from people like that. But anyway, but are you even really a Christian? All right, let me say it. I'm all fired up already. I shouldn't even get all fired up like that right away. Well, wow, we got a lot of people in the chat. All right, Lady Vu is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. D957 is on. Mike Griffith is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Our Major 79 is on. Granite 2468 is on. Kef FM1 is on. CW is on. Sexy Pony is on. Gritterdom is on. Big Red and a bunch of numbers is on. Leon Fishpuppy is on. Why Not Me is on. Supergirl 21 is on. Sheila K is on. Judy Anita is on. JD Wool is on. DC941 is on. Jayetta Jones is on. Granite 2468 is on. Why Not Me is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. S. Clark 1968 is on. Big Jim Go Blue and Never Misses Church. Love That Guy is on. Kathy 1604 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Waterline 46 is on. George Bodwin is on. Motortown is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Becklin 60 is on. LA 106 times is on. Joe Enns is on. Rafa 9821 is on. Coco Dominguez is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Dave Souders is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Todd Suffer is on. Elisa Kinzer is on. Praise Holler is on. Mark Routh is on. Let me see. Keeper 1376 is on. Ever Eden is on. No Soul Left Behind is on. It's a cool name. Truth Lover 2 is on. Ever Eden is on. Joe Heathen is on. Producer Aaron is on. Hassle Free TV is on. Milwaukee James is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Just so that we're going to hop right into Doge. You know, it's kind of the title of the show. You know, this isn't the title, but the Democrats are hyperventilating. They're scared absolutely to death that their corrupt machine is being exposed every day. Basically, what it is their slush fund is being exposed. And we'll get into that. But one thing I just want to bring up because I was listening to Alex Jones and I was listening to a 56-minute Alex Jones segment about his own personal lawsuit, which I find very fascinating, by the way. Followed it very closely. And Alex Jones is a tremendous human being. Really is. I've met him personally. He's a really, really, really nice person. But anyway, and very sincere, very honest. But anyway, I'm wondering with all of this now that we are discovering where all this money has been coming from, which is USAID, United States Agency of International Development, that everybody calls USA aid as if it's we are the world, we are the people, and we're feeding the hungry. That's not what they do, and that's not who they are. Occasionally, they may slush fund a couple meals somewhere to feed some people and give some people some raunchy vaxes. But other than that, they're a slush fund for the Democratic Party. That's who they are. That's it. Slush fund for the Democratic Party initiatives, and Democratic Party initiatives that line Democrats' pockets. That's what they are. So anyway, I also saw in the chat there, Chris World has rated us. Love you, man. Glad you're on. Awesome. Appreciate you, brother. But anyway, so who, I'm going to start off with this. Who paid for the Alex Jones lawsuit? I'm just curious because now we actually have a lawsuit against Donald Trump to stop all of these firings and to stop these firings this February. Well, today was February 6th, the February 6th ultimatum. There's an injunction put in place over that. An injunction put in place right now preventing Elon Musk from raiding the Treasury and raiding USAID. He's not raiding anything. I can't remember the proper tech verbiage. If you do read-only, the read-only approval that he has, which means he can't look at anybody's names. It's just read-only where money is going to and from. That's all he can see. But somehow they've won these little injunctions, temporary injunctions, to stop Elon Musk from doing what he's doing. Well, it comes from, and I can't remember the name of, it's something, something for democracy is, of course, the law firm that's funding these lawsuits that are being initiated by Democrats. It's like, I want to know where Perkins Coie gets their money. I want to know where the Lincoln Project gets their money. I want to know where Mark Elias get their money now, because I will bet you right now it's layered NGOs right out of the USAID. You think about what would be life-changing money for you if you ran a law firm. If you received, let's say, or you ran a media outlet, because I'm wondering why it is that the Drudge Report went left. I'm wondering why all of this happened now. And I might be ranting. You might be wondering, what on earth are you talking about? You kind of got to be a deeply kind of installed conservative who has no life like me. You actually has an understanding of all these different outlets. I'm wondering why the Huffington Post went left. I mean, I'm wondering why. Why did the Drudge Report, who was really was the report before like Gateway Pundit came out and Bongino Report and things like that came out. It was like Drudge Report was the right-wing report. It was always accurate. Why did they go left? Did they receive a tranche of money from the USAID? And you're like, well, we can't really prove that's USAID because that's layered NGOs. Listen, like that video where Jordan Peterson was talking about Elon Musk, Elon Musk will track the money down. And you're like, Tom, don't worship that. I'm not worshiping. Listen, genius is genius. For who makes you different from another? What do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? 1 Corinthians 4:7, Elon Musk's genius comes from Yahweh. So I'm not worshiping anything about Elon Musk. I love the guy, I appreciate the guy, but I worship who gave him his genius, and that would be Yahweh, that would be Jesus, to be Holy Ghost. But I'm just wondering now, it was just found out today that the New York Times gets money from the USAID. Millions of dollars. I mean, I wonder why it is that they always write hit pieces against conservatives, because if they don't, the money stops. Why in the world does MSNBC, NBC, ABC, regular NBC, CBS, and all the CNN, whatever it is, why is it that they are all leftist? Well, because their money comes from Pfizer, but who gives the money to Pfizer? Is it layered money from USAID or similar agencies funneled through layers of NGOs for plausible deniability that ends up in their pockets? Is that the case? Is that really what life is all about? Is that really what's happening? I believe that it is. I'm wondering who it is that funded the lawsuit against Rudy Giuliani. Because we keep finding out that everybody that is our opposition has received money from USAID. Isn't that weird? And even someone like Zuckerberg was leveraged via a lawsuit funded by USAID. They threatened him with a $50 billion, something like that, maybe it was hundreds of billions dollar lawsuit, because Zuckerberg initially came out and, believe it or not, and said that he wasn't going to ban conservative speech around COVID. And then suddenly there's a lawsuit filed against like $100 billion, something like that. And suddenly now who filed that lawsuit? And who financed the filing of that lawsuit against Zuckerberg? And Zuckerberg, of course, caved, because that's who he is. So I'm just wondering who financed the lawsuit against Rudy Giuliani. Giuliani has bankrupted him. Who financed the lawsuit against Alex Jones and bankrupted him? Who financed the various lawsuits against Donald Trump, the civil ones? Who was it? I mean, I bet you right now we can find out. Because listen, you can't hide the money trail anymore. It's all digital. That's the great thing about these people. They're not smart. They're just zealous. That's all that they are. There's very fervent people, but they're not smart. And they're the ones who want to usher in CBDC currency where all finances are tracked. Well, all finances are now tracked. So it runs from USAID coffers into an NGO, into a side NGO, into a main NGO, back to a side NGO, back to an NGO, and then into the coffers of law firms like Perkins Coie that sue conservatives. So I want to know now what is the monetary precedent of all of these different actions that we've seen launched against us over the last 5 years of 15 days to flatten the curve and before that? Who was it that gave the money to the DNC to give the money to Perkins Coie, to give the money to Fusion GPS, to give the money to Christopher Steele, to give the money to Igor Danchenko to start the entire collusion hoax with the Steele dossier? I'm just curious. I bet you right now we all know. It's either the CIA themselves or the CIA slush fund in the USAID, none of which is approved by us. And why are they all so worried? Because, once again, how do all these Democrats get rich? I want to know. You guys want to know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to know how they all get rich. I mean, the max is you can make in Congress is about $270,000 a year. And how is it that you're worth $57 million after 10 years of being in Congress? Because what happens is, once again, is they are voting for funding the USAID, which funds NGOs, which then sends money into Democratic Party coffers, Democratic Party campaigns. And again, not to be redundant, but you're like, well, they can't keep that campaign finances. The heck they can't. They can. All they have to do is set up a foundation with their excess campaign funds. And their wife runs the foundation, and he pays his wife $10 million a year. Or his wife buys his campaign ads, which is a 10% commission. Or you pay your wife or your husband consultancy fees out of your campaign. Or you travel the world, like Ilhan Omar did $3.1 million to her husband, the non-brother husband. Or you travel the world like Eric Swalwell. You just travel the world and live a rich, lavish lifestyle all on campaign funds. That's funneled to you from the USAID into an NGO, into your campaign coffers. All right, Insurrection Barbie video. USAID whistleblower said the first thing that he was forced to do was DEI training. Play for me, Will.
Mark Moyer, he's a USAID whistleblower, and he joins me now. So, Mark, you started at USAID, and what'd they do the first thing? Did they send you to DEI camp?
Yes, and great to be with you, Jesse. So I didn't get into the agency till February 2018. And this is one of the big differences that we're already seeing that in 2017, Trump administration was very slow to get into the agency. So I get there in February, and we have what's called a privilege walk as part of the orientation, where you are given an identity. Now, I was a Scandinavian woman, and so when they read lines like, you know, I get discriminated against because of government services, or people don't like look how I look. So you took a step forward if it applied, and if it didn't. And so I ended up near the front, and you know, the indigenous woman with, you know, unwanted pregnancy and the male prostitute were at the other end. And then we talked about our privileges.
All right. So you were trained to be a Scandinavian woman in a privilege walk, not root out corruption. What kind of disguises do they use to fund these projects? I mean, do they just change the names of these things? Is there really some other reason we're doing this?
Yeah, they're very effective at rebranding things. So in the first Trump administration, the priorities were support national interests, as they are now. Another thing was countering terrorism and promoting self-reliance. So I went to a country, just to give one example, they had a feminist women's book club that had been started under the Obama administration. And then they now said this is a counter-terror program because feminist women are key fighters in the battle against terrorism.
Oh, yes.
So to keep the money going, what you have to do, of course, is change the names of various initiatives. So Feminist Women's Book Club gets changed to anti-terrorist action. Because somehow, if you influence women to be feminists, you're going to stop terrorism. You and I have been paying for that our entire tax-paying lives. Our entire tax-paying lives. You and I have been paying for these things. And he was talking about that's a former DEI employee. Former USAID employee. Very first thing he had to do was go to a DEI breakout session where he had to pretend to be a Scandinavian woman on a privilege walk. But they talk about his various forms of privilege that he has that other people don't have. So we're paying these people six figures per year to go to DEI breakout sessions on a privilege walk. That's what you and I are paying for. And then what's great about this is that you notice how I played that video in the pregame where nobody's showing up at the protest tonight. Did anybody notice that? Because it's too cold, 36 degrees. It's 36. I mean, come on. I mean, it was like -4 with a wind chill factor of -28. I get it. It's 38. It's 36 degrees outside and nobody's showing up at the USAID protest. Why? Because, you know, and they were like thousands show up. First of all, it wasn't thousands. It was hundreds. And the only people that were there were actually DC establishment employees. That's all that it was. There was actually no even run of the mill sort of Democratic Party voters. Because no real Democratic Party voter, I mean, I'm talking about normal, average, everyday people, not DEI activists, not trans activists. They're still leftard morons. I'm just saying, even they know you can't die on this hill. Even they know that this USAID, these expenditures from the USAID are indefensible. There's no way to defend coloring books, trans coloring books in Peru. There's no way to defend disinformation, I'm trying to remember the exact terms, but it was a disinformation action in Serbia where they have a disinformation initiative where they're trying to stop disinformation in Serbia. I mean, they know that. There's no way to defend it. So they're not getting run. They can't even get Antifa out there. They can't get anybody out there. So that's gone tonight. Because again, and by the way, the great thing about leftards is they're freaking lazy. They're lazy. They're babies. If they don't get what they want right away, they're going to quit. That's what's great. I mean, they will always do lazy things consistently. They'll do those things. But if they actually have to get out and work or walk or stand, they'll quit after a while. All right, let's go to the next one. Steve 2A video. The corruption is unbelievable. Here's Mike Benz on USAID with facts and stats. Play for me.
Wow, I gotta go. This is amazing. I need to have you back on really soon, Mike. But really quickly, if you can tell me 15 or 20 seconds, has every past president for the last 20 years known about this corruption with USAID and just chose not to do anything about it?
Well, most of them are on the take. Joe Biden was the head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, which directly oversees USAID. USAID was funding Burisma. USAID gave money to Burisma and had a formal partnership agreement with Burisma. Barack Obama's mother worked for USAID. And the Bush family runs right through it. Bush's vice president, Dick Cheney, Liz Cheney worked for USAID. They're all in on it. And this is the reason that the Trump revolution was so revolutionary. It's because it defeated both sides of the USAID snake. And now we're going to see just exactly how the snake bites back when it's cornered.
I wonder if all of the lawfare and everything that they threw at President Trump in his first term, the Russiagate, the collusion, all the stuff, I wonder if that was just to try to keep him on his heels enough to not look at USAID. But
wait, but that was a USAID thing,
Mike
too.
Mike Benz, appreciate you.
Can I say this one thing real quick? No, I have to say this.
Yes.
Okay. USAID funded a group called the OCCRP. Everyone can look this up. They paid $20 million to a group of hit piece journalists who turned around and dug up dirt on Rudy Giuliani and then used that as the basis to impeach the sitting president, Donald Trump, in 2019.
So they funded. We'll go top to bottom. So I wonder why it is, and we could deep dive on Burisma for 3 hours. I'm just telling you, let's just say surface level. So I wonder why it is that Joe Biden wanted the prosecutor looking into his son's company where of course Hunter Biden was receiving $83,000 a month to be on a board he never showed up to sit on, and on board he has no expertise in oil, natural gas. I wonder why it is that Joe Biden made sure that the prosecutor looking into Burisma was fired, because USAID, which funds both Biden, who he sat on the board, you know, on a board connected with USAID, funded by USAID, Biden sits on a board. And then, of course, he wants the prosecutor looking into this. Again, it's a giant, giant symbiote. I don't think I could ever draw it up, but it's a giant symbiote of interconnected globalists. And the word globalist encompasses both left and right. The right, the people on the right are fake right, but they are right wingers, at least with an R in front of their name. So USAID was funding Burisma, that was funding Hunter Biden, and which was funding Joe Biden. Obama's mother worked for USAID. Liz Cheney worked for USAID. You wonder why they're against Trump? Why they'll send Trump to prison for the rest of his life? Because he will expose their malfeasance and their bribery, and probably many other things. And then you have the OCCRP, $20 million to investigate Rudy Giuliani, OCCRP funded by USAID. You had Trump funding his own impeachment. Everybody get this? While Trump was in office, this outfit, OCCRP, funded by USAID, basically raided Rudy Giuliani and got the phone call didn't exist. Trump put out transcript of it, all the different things, the quid pro quo. That was all generated by USAID and Trump. It was under the Trump administration, because Trump didn't do what he's doing now. Trump knows now, if I don't go in and fire basically half of the federal workforce, if I don't fire most of the CIA, if I don't fire giant swaths of the FBI, if I don't fire most of USAID, if not all of it, he's already put it under Marco Rubio, that they're going to impeach him again. You have Al Green filed a motion of impeachment today, which we'll get to. So now you know why they're all defending this. It's going to come back. They all know, Adam Schiff knows that it was USAID funding the two impeachments against Donald Trump. Donald Trump's own USAID. It's because Donald Trump thought all these people were civil servants. They're not. They're deep state activists. They're not just deep state activists. These are communist Nazis. That's who they are. A combination between socialist Nazis and just actual Nazis. That's what they are. They're globalists who want to turn the United States of America into a state, not a sovereign nation. All right, the Vigilant Fox video. Report USAID and CIA secretly worked to impeach Donald Trump from office in 2019. Play it for me.
You have this new piece on Substack that the USAID and the CIA helped orchestrate Trump's impeachment?
Yeah, I mean, Jesse, it's a crazy story. I mean, you might forget that, you know, the House of Representatives impeached President Trump in December of 2019. Many people may not remember that it was a CIA analyst who was left over from the Obama White House who wrote the memo that led to the impeachment. It was all based on hearsay. The person had not actually been in the room with Trump. Nonetheless, this memo that he wrote relied heavily on a report done by an organization funded by USAID. In fact, its initial founding funding, I mean, now it's tens of millions of dollars, had gone into this group called the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project, a name that's not very memorable, OCCRP. But it was basically created as an extension of the State Department and then of USAID. And as you know, Jesse, this is very serious to be involved in an effort to do regime change at home, as we've been discovering as the files have come out with what Elon Musk has been doing. We know that USAID was really about regime change abroad. It was a kind of public-facing part, you know, regime change operation like CIA, but not covert, more overt. Well, now you see a similar blowback, just like they did censorship abroad and brought censorship tools back home. They were doing this sort of thing abroad, creating a predicate, essentially, for Trump's impeachment. So I think it's just one of many revelations that we'll see coming out in the next few
weeks. So USAID was involved in regime change abroad and here at home. Very interesting. If you want to read more about what Mike's talking about, go to his Substack.
So there you go. So when you hear the Democrats out in front of Congress, and they're all on Capitol Hill, And you hear them, and they're saying, you know what, these kids are not going to get their vaccinations, which thank God they're not. And then these kids funded via USAID is what they say, but it's U.S. Agency for International Development. It's got nothing to do with aid. It has to do with constant regime changes and coup d'etats and funding leftist, hyper-leftist initiatives to leverage everybody into a one-world commerce system, to leverage everybody into being what China is now, which I won't get into. But you'll hear the leftists out there. People aren't getting their food. People aren't getting their vaccinations. People aren't getting their protein bars. Why aren't you saying people aren't getting their coup d'etats? Because that's what's actually happening with the USAID. Not only coup d'etats, that color revolution, I guarantee you that was 2014, Ukraine was paid for by USAID. I guarantee you this current Ukraine war is funded by USAID. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. I mean, it's a constant, again, one NGO after another. I guarantee it. And of course, it's not just funded by them. It's funded by people like Mitch McConnell. Somebody actually said in the chat, cutting the head off of the two-headed snake. That's right, because Mitch McConnell is identical to all Democrats when it comes to USAID. He wants it to keep going. Why? Who knows how much money Mitchie's gotten? And you'll never be directly a check written from Treasury to the politician. It's a check written to an NGO. Written to another NGO, written to a side NGO, written to a main NGO, then funneled back to an organization which pays a Democratic Party politician or a Rhino Republican. That is how it works. So now we continue to find out USAID is all about coup d'etats, both at home and abroad. All right, Trump impeachment now off of USAID. Tony Saraga. Video, Congressman Al Green, a Democrat, submitted articles of impeachment today. Wow, play for me, Will.
I rise to announce that the movement to impeach the president has begun. I rise to announce that I will bring articles of impeachment against the president for dastardly deeds proposed and dastardly deeds done. I also rise to say that the impeachment movement is going to be a grass-up movement, not a top-down. The people have got to move forward. The people have to demand it. And when the people demand it, it will be done. I did it before. I laid the foundation for impeachment, and it was done. Nobody knows more about it than I. And I know that it's time for us to lay the foundation again. On some issue.
So he's laid the groundwork for impeachment before via USAID. And he says it's going to be a grass up movement. He's too stupid to actually understand lingo. It should be a grassroots movement. Now let's look into Al Green, one of the most useless human beings on the planet. DEI congressman, an absolute galactic moron. That's who this guy is. So Congressman Al Green, again, Tony Saraga video and his article written on Twitter. Congressman Al Green, a Democrat, submitted articles of impeachment against President Trump, was among the lawmakers implicated in sexual harassment allegations that resulted in a settlement payment of $875,000 from a slush fund back in 2008. That's our taxpayer slush fund. You and I paid for a congressional slush fund to pay off sex abuse allegations from congressmen and women. Isn't that great? I wonder if that's USAID money too. Rep Al Green sexually assaulted former aide Lucinda Daniels in 2007. Green settled with Daniels using the congressional slush fund. In 2017, other members of Congress were facing accusations of sexual assault. Green once again paid Daniels to sign a joint statement to get ahead of the scandal resurfacing. So we got to pay for Al Green's sexual assault twice. Twice you and I paid for that. I'll bet you right now that slush fund comes from USAID. I mean, I'll just bet you. All right, MJ Truth Ultra, just hearkening back to USAID for a couple minutes. All right, just have to show you this. I'm going to let it play for a minute, not very long. I mean, 30, 40 seconds max. MJ Truth Ultra video. USAID allegedly paid actor Sean Penn, it's not allegedly, it did, $5 million to do this. Play for me.
This is for you.
Oh,
Sean.
Yes.
No.
Please.
That is yours.
No, I feel terrible outside. It's just a symbolic, silly thing.
Yes, but
if I know this is here with you, then I'll feel better and stronger for the fight.
So great, great to honor, but yeah. Until we win.
When you win, bring it back to Malibu.
Great. Yes. Great. Okay.
Because I'll feel much better knowing there's a piece of me here.
Yeah. It's amazing how Sean Penn could show up in war-torn Kyiv. I mean, because I'm trying to remember, could you just fly into London when it was being bombed by the Luftwaffe? Back in 1942, I'm just wondering, could you do that? No, this is an actual war zone, which I don't have time to get into Ukraine tonight. But I'm just saying, it's amazing that he's able to get there. But of course, it's Sean Penn, who's a multi-millionaire with multiple residences. You and I got to pay for his entire trip there, which explained to me how any trip could cost $5 million. Any trip. I mean, you could go buy an island for less than that. I mean, we paid $20 million for Angelina Jolie to go do that. I'm trying to remember all the ones. Jean-Claude Van Damme went on the cheap at $1.5 million. All of this paid for by USAID for them to all go lick the boots of Volodymyr Zelensky. Amazing, isn't it? I mean, and there's others too. I just can't remember.
Ben
Stiller was $4 million. Yeah. That you and I paid for them to all go and do that. Kind of weird, isn't it, that you and I pay for that? All right, let's go. I don't want to deep dive too far into Ukraine, but the Ukraine war, and you have Sean Penn going there, you know, this fight that he's sitting across, he gives his Oscar to Volodymyr Zelensky as if he is the next Winston Churchill fighting for democracy. Saint Volodymyr. Volodymyr Zelensky is an authoritarian dictator who has eliminated elections, eliminated his opposition parties, and eliminated all opposition media, and has ushered in complete and total CBDC into Ukraine. That's it. And they're fighting for democracy. It's either, for Sean Penn, he's either galactically ignorant or purposely stupid. He either has no idea what he's talking about or is purposely stupid and is simply a deep state propagandist. And as we found out, USAID loves to pay off media figures like Politico, up to $34 million to Politico, millions of dollars to the New York Times and everything else. And Bill Kristol, by the way. Are you ever wondering why Bill Kristol went so ardently left? Well, because he's getting paid by the USAID, so he turns against conservatives. I mean, again, this was a spineless worm anyway. I'm glad that he was exposed via money, that he would be a Benedict Arnold turncoat, but that's why he turned. Where you're like, Bill Kristol used to be conservative. I wonder why he's not, because he's received tons of money from USAID. Why would Bill Kristol be receiving money from USAID? Why would the New York Times? Why would Politico and numerous others? All right, Liz Churchill video, USAID Samantha Powell has been fired. You know, she got this real nice puff piece. I wonder what media outfit wrote a puff piece about the head of USAID. Oh, the ones receiving $34 million from USAID, where they called Samantha Power a celebrity. Politico wrote that article about Samantha Power while they were receiving money from Samantha Power. Here's Samantha Power whining about being fired. Play for me.
Well, you can imagine when you suddenly in your inbox find a termination notice or a leave of absence notice that you didn't expect to get on a flawed predicate that you're doing radical leftist insubordination, it's pretty jarring. And because there's so many lies and falsehoods circulating and so many claims that people are sort of not with the program, I think people are just completely dislocated. There's no stable ground on which to walk. And then, of course, most of them have been laid off, so they're worried about how they're going to pay the bills and how they're going to make rent. But maybe the part that is the most striking and, for me, inspiring, if not surprising, having worked there for 4 years, is that, you know, the people who work at USAID did not come to work at USAID for the money. The civil servants, the foreign servants, the contractors, they came to USAID because they wanted to make a difference in the world, because they saw America's interests as tied up with the interests of people, vulnerable people around the world. And so even as they're struggling to figure out...
All right, so there you go. Samantha Power has been fired. That, of course, is the head of the USAID. Trump writing a Truth Social post right next to her. Looks like billions of dollars have been stolen at USAID and other agencies, much of it going to fake news media as a payoff for creating good stories about Democrats, good stories about Democrats, and slanderous stories about Republicans and conservatives and conservative media outlets. And one just a side note here, I wonder who it was that sued Gateway Pundit. That happened also. That's weird, isn't it? I believe also sued The Federalist. Weird, isn't it, that all these lawsuits happened against them, but no lawsuits? Because here's the thing. The lawsuit is actually the punitive measure because it bankrupts you while you're being sued. The left-wing rag, known as Politico, seems to have received $8 million. Now we know $34 million. Did the New York Times receive money? Now we know yes. That's why Trump put it out there. Who else did? Well, Bill Kristol. This could be the biggest scandal of them all, perhaps the biggest in history. The Democrats can't hide from this one. Too big, too dirty. That's correct. Now, here's the thing. We're going to the next one, Will. I can't even read who's this from anymore. Blender News, something like that. Yeah, who is
Blender.
Blender News. Thank you, guys. Can't read my own writing. But anyway, so we're not the only ones with a slush fund. I wonder who else has a slush fund. Play for me.
A $102 billion slush fund has been exposed by an anonymous X user, revealing taxpayer money being funneled into corrupt international institutions and ideological pet projects. This is not a fringe conspiracy. Anyone can verify these numbers on the government's own website. Some highlights, or, well, lowlights, of this fund include $900 million annually for the UN, $44 million to Luxembourg for a climate initiative, and $10 million for abortion services in London, England. A staggering $186 million goes towards vague initiatives to promote women, $75 million props up the wine industry, and $200 million funds Canadian media, which conveniently acts as a propaganda arm for the Liberal government. Even more shocking are the countless millions given to foreign banks, including the Asian Development Bank and African climate projects. Canadians are also funding police forces in other nations, while domestic law enforcement struggles to keep up with rising violent crime in our own neighborhoods. DEI initiatives and multiculturalism projects receive a blank check, even though evidence suggests they deepen division instead of fostering unity. This isn't government mismanagement, it's government betrayal. Billions are funneled to activists, international institutions, and corrupt programs, while Canadians are left with inflation, crumbling healthcare, and poverty. The Liberal Party isn't governing, it's looting.
The Canadian citizens are left with a crumbling economy, inflation, and terrible healthcare. Amazing, isn't it? $102 billion slush fund. And not $1 went to one conservative initiative. You got two parties there. They actually have multiple parties. There's a parliamentary system. But I'm wondering, it's amazing, isn't it? All of the $102 billion, get this, Canadian citizens, that you paid for, that has coagulated into this $102 billion slush fund, $900 million of it went to the UN. While you can't pay for healthcare. I mean, and by the way, you always have these politicians in Canada touting the Canadian socialized healthcare system, where they have tens of thousands of Canadians per year crossing the northern border to get needed medical care here. Because if you need help, a hip replacement in Canada, you're on a 5-year waiting list. It's wonderful, wonderful healthcare. Same thing in England, by the way, also. So $900 million of it goes to the UN that does nothing for any Canadian citizen. And by the way, how did they get the slush fund? They printed it, so now you have hyperinflation. $10 million goes to London for abortions. Why can't London pay for their own abortions? England has just as many or more citizens than Canada does on that island, because Canada's spread all over the place. Canada has to pay for London's abortions? $70 million for wine? This is for the wine industry? Canadian citizens, you know that's what Justin Trudeau pays your money? And again, it's not just their money being wasted. They print this money, which causes your money to be hyperinflated. Millions of dollars to Canadian media, then, who dutifully report for the people giving them the money, who dutifully report favorable stories to the people giving them the money, which is the Liberal Party, which is why you'll see Chrystia Freeland, why you see Justin Trudeau, and they won't allow Rebel News in, because Rebel News won't report. You know, Rebel News won't report what they want to report. Obviously, all the other media outlets who they pay via millions upon tens of millions of dollars Chrystia Freeland pays them through this slush fund. Justin Trudeau pays them through this slush fund. The Liberal Party pays them through this slush fund to write propaganda pieces for them. That's why they are the approved media. Remember Justin Trudeau? Inappropriate views or unapproved views or whatever it was that he said. And of course, millions upon millions going to climate initiatives. Not one dime went to anything conservative. So they're in the same place that you and I are at. Here's a Doge tweet, Department of Government Efficiency tweet. The estimated one, so see, these programs have to be hit too. People don't like it. People don't want to touch it. We have to massively cut the military. We're $37 trillion in debt. You don't have to cut one soldier. You don't have to cut one. You don't have to cut one innovative, innovative project for weaponry to develop new weapons or anything. You don't need to cut any of that. You just need to cut the waste overseas. Billions upon billions and a $900 billion budget for the military. We could cut a lot of that off and actually grow our military because a lot of it's being flushed down the toilet. We're spending $43 million a week to actually fund the Taliban inside of Afghanistan. $43 million a week. But Antony Blinken says, well, we're sending that for humanitarian purposes. I suppose we're all supposed to believe the finance, that money isn't fungible, that can be reallocated once it gets to the designation point. You're going to trust who? The Taliban government? The People's Liberation Army of Afghanistan? And he goes, only $10 million has really slipped into their coffers. $10 million going to the Taliban. But it's actually $43 million a week that you and I are spending. It's gone now. I hope it's gone now. Trump or Elon will get to it eventually. But these big things like Medicaid and Medicare are going to have to be hit. You have to be willing to do it. We're $37 trillion in debt. We are going to go bankrupt. It's going to happen if we don't change it. All of these margin calls, you have the BRICS movement, where people are pulling themselves out of the dollar system because the dollar is becoming more and more valueless as we speak. It fluctuates. It goes up and down. And the pendulum could swing. And I don't know how many years it will be. I don't know how many months it'll be. I don't know, but we will go bankrupt if we not change. Because if we don't change, everybody in Greece never thought they'd go bankrupt either until they went bankrupt. Same thing in Venezuela and other countries too. They never thought they're going to go bankrupt until they actually go bankrupt. You cannot continue to print money. You cannot do it. And what's so funny to me is, whether it's Mike Johnson, who I pick on all the time, for passing Joe Biden's omnibus packages and minibus packages for trillions of dollars, been printing the money to do this. And all the money that we're spending via USAID and sending overseas is printed money. It's not real money backed by gold. It's nothing. Eventually, there's margin calls, folks. Eventually, people come and demand their assets that are represented in a currency. What are we going to do? We don't have it. It's as simple as that. An estimated $100 billion in estimated improper payments were made in the Medicare and Medicaid programs in 1 year. $100 billion in 1 year. A tenth of a trillion in 1 year. This is 43% of government-wide improper payments. We get rid of that. We get rid of 43% of improper payments. Let's do it. Lots of people ripping off the system. How much you want to bet? How much you want to bet? Basically, 100% of the people doing that are Democrats. And it will be defended by people like Al Green. Absolutely. All right, let's go to the next one. Real Robert, let's go to the FBI now. Real Robert video. And this is the director of Central, it's a Fox News report, but this is the director of Central Intelligence now, John Ratcliffe. The FBI was ordered by Barack Obama. I covered this story, but there's more detail on this one. And this is why you have to have, and Doge has already showed up at the FBI. You need to know who's funding these various operations. I don't know. I want to know who's funding these operations to take down the political opponents of Democrats. The FBI was ordered. I thought there was a delineation. I thought there was a separation between the DOJ and the White House. I thought that's what we've been hearing. That when we hear Kash Patel being interviewed in his confirmation hearings, he's being asked questions. Will you take orders from Donald Trump if they're unlawful? I thought there was a delineation. The Democrats always say they were, but here, no, Barack Obama, the FBI was ordered by Hussein Obama not to arrest Hillary Clinton for espionage in violation of 18 U.S. Code 793, gathering and transmitting defense information. In fact, James Comey effectively served as Hillary Clinton's personal attorney. James Comey, remember, What I can assure the American people is that this investigation was done honestly. Really? Play for me, Will.
About what the Obama Justice Department ordered federal lawyers to do and not to do concerning the Hillary Clinton email investigation. Chief Intelligence Correspondent Catherine Herridge tells us in sworn testimony on Capitol Hill, one of the insiders told lawmakers what she was told.
During closed-door testimony last summer, former FBI lawyer Lisa Page said the Obama administration's Justice Department advised the FBI not to pursue the gross negligence statute for Hillary Clinton in the mishandling of classified information. Former U.S. Attorney and House Republican John Ratcliffe led the line of questioning about the statute, known as 18 U.S.C. 793. Ratcliffe, you're making it sound like it was the department that told you you're not going to charge gross negligence because we're the prosecutors. Page interrupted. That is correct. Page's testimony appears to conflict with then-FBI Director James Comey's recommendation in July 2016 against criminal charges for Clinton.
What I can assure the American people is that this investigation was done honestly, competently, and independently. No outside influence of any kind was brought to bear.
The Republican-led House Oversight and Judiciary Committee investigation ended in January. With Democrats now in control, the committee's new ranking Republican made the Page transcript public.
The transcript releases show an inherent two-tier system, one in which Hillary Clinton gets the treatment that she got, where they was actually at first concerned that they were going to charge her, and then with Loretta Lynch in charge before she recused herself, made it very clear that that was not going to happen.
The tip-off came from a chart drawn up by federal investigators assigned to the Clinton case known as Mid-Year Exam. Fox News has confirmed that the chart listed possible federal statutes for prosecution. Next to gross negligence was a notation, quote, DOJ not willing to charge this. Only known cases are military. Cases when accused lost the information. In response to the Page revelations, the president tweeted the transcripts, quote, make the Obama Justice Department look exactly like it was, a broken and corrupt machine.
The Page transcript also confirms Fox's earlier reporting. The Page testified Russia collusion was still unproven when special counsel Robert Mueller was appointed. Brett?
Captain, thank you.
So they said they couldn't charge her with gross negligence. And I remember the press conference with James Comey, he changed gross negligence to something else, like some sort of, I can't remember what it was. But anyway, you just changed the terminology. It's basically saying that it didn't rise to the level of gross negligence. And the excuse from the DOJ that they wouldn't file charges against Hillary Clinton is they only do it against military personnel, never Hillary. And they only, they charge a military person with gross negligence when they lose something. Hillary Clinton didn't lose anything. She actually had a hard drive in a bathroom in Denver, Colorado, with highly classified, compartmented information on it. That she, the military person, accidentally does something and loses it. They get your thank you, Aaron. He changed it from gross negligent. Aaron just found it for me to extremely careless. What's the freaking difference? That's how this entire system is rigged for them and against you and me and against people like Donald Trump who represent you and me. And of course, not to mention Loretta Lynch, who meets with Bill Clinton, the husband of the subject of the investigation, on the tarmac, and they only talk about grandkids. Then she recuses herself, but prior to recusing herself, she made sure that she ordered the FBI not to fill out probable cause affidavits charging Hillary Clinton with gross negligence in violation of 18 U.S. Code 793. Un-freaking believable. The coffers of the FBI need to be examined. Everybody's so worried, all these leftists. Elon Musk is seeing information that he shouldn't see. Sensitive, is it classified? Then who gives a crap? He's seeing checks written from the Treasury. Who gives a crap? Do you? I don't care. I don't care if Elon finds a check somehow written to me from the Treasury. I don't care. Do you? Aaron, do you care?
No.
I don't care. I don't care. Yeah, I mean, do you care that Elon Musk sees that the Treasury wrote a check with blinders on for gay coloring books in Peru? Do you care? I personally don't care. I'm going to have a giant list. I'm going to put together a giant list of all the USAID expenditures that I've heard. All right, Clipkeeper video, staying with the FBI. And this, all I'm saying about the FBI is DOJ needs to go and trace all the monetary transactions. That's all I want. That's all DOGE is supposed to do, government efficiency. Then cash will come in and do the criminal investigations into all these people. That's why Trump has put out his 12-question questionnaire to all of those. Actually went to every FBI agent asking them, did you work on J6 cases? If you worked on a J6 case and you simply served a warrant, fine. If you lied under oath, you're going to freaking federal prison. That's what needs to happen. And we need to have the courage to perp walk FBI agents. And I hope they do. Clipkeeper video, FBI agents who worked on J6 cases are very upset. I wonder if this has anything to do with FBI's illegal FISA searches against J6 warrants. There were 278,000 FISA abuses in 2021 alone. Play it for me, Will.
Order released just before we came on the air says the FBI did something it shouldn't have done, that it misused information from this big database against crime victims and January 6th riot suspects and people connected to Black Lives Matter protests. According to these documents, the FBI wrongly looked up info in this digital system for information about Americans and others more than 278,000 times in 2020 and early 2021. And these searches continued for months after the insurrection at the Capitol.
So what happened here is there is a huge database of information gathered for foreign intelligence purposes by the National Security Agency. It's foreigners talking to foreigners abroad. But sometimes they talk to Americans. Sometimes they talk about Americans. And so there is some American information in there. And sometimes the FBI queries that database when it has a good legal reason to do so with the names of Americans to see if there are any ties to foreigners in a particular investigation. Well, what happened here is the FBI did that inappropriately on a mass scale in some instances that are very disturbing, frankly. They did it with a lot of January 6th protesters. They did it, according to this document, with 19,000 people who donated to a political campaign.
There is, I think, a level of expectation that Americans have about what their law enforcement agencies are going to do. There is a trust and confidence question mark here, right? Does the FBI acknowledge that?
Oh, 100%. They know that this is a terrible story for them. What they say is, look, the reason you know about this is because we did an audit and we made the results of that audit public through the courts, and we have changed the rules on this. But, you know, the problem with that is they've been saying that for years. They've been saying, trust us, trust us. The FISA process has integrity, and they keep getting caught doing the wrong thing. So there is a trust issue here.
So here we go. So I want to get this, and Aaron found the term for me because I could not think of the term. But what this is about is what's called unmasking, and this is what they did to General Flynn. General Flynn, when he was the incoming national security advisor, he was making, again, this is way back in 2016, when Trump won 2016, taking over the presidency in 2017. But in that interim time from basically November 3rd to January 20th, he was the incoming national security advisor. So he was obviously contacting who? Like every other incoming national security advisor has done for the last 200 years. He was contacting his counterparts overseas. And that was Joe Biden when they were meeting to form the collusion oaks. I don't have time to get into all this, but it's like Joe Biden was talking about the Logan Act violations. And then they did the FARA violations and all that, Foreign Agents Registry Act violations, and threatened his son, did all of those things. Well, one of the things that they did was unmask Flynn. What does that mean? And this is what they did 278,000 times in 2021 alone. But don't worry, Aaron. Don't worry, Will. Don't worry, everybody. 1,116 people that are watching right now. Don't worry. Because they did an audit, they confessed to it, and then they changed the rules after they did all the crimes.
Oh, good for them.
And I mean, did they really even change the rules or just change the verbiage in the rules? So that's what they always do. They do, after they break the law, they do an audit. Law, we confess to it, and we've made sure that we've disciplined the people who did it, and we've changed the rules. Nobody gets fired. Nobody gets arrested. Nobody loses their pension. Funny how that works, isn't it? And you're Lisa Page and you're Peter Strzok, you get fired, and now you sue and you get millions of dollars back, probably from USAID. But anyway, so they did this 278 times. They unmasked Americans. What does that mean? Very simple. You, again, like we're always saying on the podcast, if you're an illegal alien in this country, you don't have Second Amendment rights. You don't have constitutional rights. As a law enforcement officer, if we take you into custody, we have to act constitutionally towards you, but you don't have constitutional rights. Does that make sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you are calling in and you're calling in from Russia and you are talking to General Flynn about the Ukraine war, we can bug you as a Russian. We can listen into your conversations. We can have the telephone company give us a transcript of your conversations. But in order to get Flynn's side, you have to get a freaking warrant. They did it 278,000 times in 2023. They didn't bother getting a warrant. They unmasked Americans and listened to their conversations. Nobody goes to prison. Kash Patel needs to find these people and send them to prison, or it's never going to stop. It's never going to stop. We'll win for 4 years, and then they'll reinitiate all this stuff when they're back in power, if they are. If they ever are. I believe we're going on a 12-year run, though, with Vance. But anyway, let's go to the next one. So another agency that really needs to be looked into is, of course, the IRS. Just because we've stopped, or hopefully stopped, their 87,000 armed agents that they've hired, just because of that doesn't mean that the IRS is not corrupt to the studs, because they are. Wide Awake Media video, the IRS has been using AI to access bank accounts. Play for me.
What we have learned is that the IRS, in fact, has been using AI to access bank accounts of American citizens without any kind of a search warrant or even without any specific claim that they have committed a crime. So this was something that was discovered by an undercover journalist. And what they found is that the IRS has claimed that they have access to every single person's bank account. This person also indicated that they've been working with the Department of Justice and that they have absolutely no problem whatsoever going after the little guy to make sure that they are paying their taxes. Mm. This is such a blatant violation of the Fourth Amendment that we have, Jim Jordan and I, sent a letter to the IRS demanding that they provide additional information about what they are doing with AI and what they are doing to protect the civil rights of American citizens.
They did this with J6 defendants, too. They just relinquished all the bank accounts per congressional request. You can't do that. And various other phone companies. I don't know if they're really phone companies anymore, like Verizon or whatever.
Yeah.
They relinquished information to people like Adam Schiff without a subpoena. Because once again, how much USAID money slush fund money goes to those companies? Who knows? You're like, Tom, it's not all USAID. I know, I'm just using them as a symbolic government agency, because as Trump said, it's not just USAID. It's multiple other agencies that are funding Democratic Party and globalist initiatives and the outfits that actually initiate the initiatives. So there you have Harriet Hageman saying the IRS has been using AI to access bank accounts of American citizens without any kind of warrant. They know what's in our accounts and what our transactions are. The IRS has claimed that they have access to every single person's bank account. Well, they have to, because any account, any transaction of over $600 gets reported to them. So they have to have access to your account 24/7 to get a readout of a $600 transaction, right? Otherwise, how would they know? Well, this can't be, Tom. Johnny Midnight video. And here we have James O'Keefe of OMG. Alex Mena, the official who works in the IRS's criminal investigations, quote, "The IRS has no problem going after small people, putting them in prison, ruining their lives, or even shooting them." Because Mena recalls IRS agents saying, "The first person you shoot, you'll remember, but after that, you'll shoot like 100 people and you'll forget every single one of them." This is hyperbolic. Really? Play for me.
So AI has access to like everybody's bank account?
They see the amount in your bank account, yes.
I can't. Is it constitutional to do that?
I doubt it. They are assholes.
Really?
They are the definition of an asshole. All of them. They have no problem like going after the small people, you know, putting people in prison, like destroying people's life. They have no problem doing that. They said that we were all nice when we started. Now look at us. Like, they are like robots right now. All of them.
I can't wait to give this news to all of my friends.
Yeah, please don't tell them my name.
Do you think that you would like have to have like a life?
No, not with IRS. They can audit like whoever they want.
That's actually, it's a bit invasive, right?
Yeah. Like in 6 months, they were able to capture $500 million.
Do they have warrants to go into like the accounts to find that $500 million?
Like, no.
You said the IRS doesn't control the AI? Who does?
The Department of Justice and the Inspector General.
It's like he went into the Army.
When I went to the Criminal Investigation Unit, the guy telling me, like, well, the first person you shoot, you're going to remember. But after that, you're gonna shoot like 100 people. You're not gonna remember any of them. Like destroying people's life. They have no problem doing that.
Is it constitutional to do that?
I doubt it.
All right, bring it back to me. So there you go. Now, again, this is a public service announcement. I do this every time. Those of you who watch podcasts, this is redundant. I apologize to you, but I don't really. Here's the thing. Guys, you got OMG out there. Okay, you got James O'Keefe, and I'm rooting for O'Keefe, but I'm just trying to help you out, okay? If you look like that, like he gets into the whole thing like, you know, once you shoot the first person, when was there ever an IRS shooting? So he's trying to impress a woman. You know, you shoot the first one. You know, it'd be, you know, if you like, if you were like SEAL Team 6, okay, you talk like that. Okay. Even a SEAL Team 6 guy would never talk like that. Okay. Goobers like this guy talk like that.
That guy.
Yeah. Yes. This guy right here. This guy. Don't think it's the first time you shoot someone, it doesn't bother you at all. But the 100th one, I mean, whatever. Okay. So, this is a public service announcement. If she's really freaking hot and you know she's out of your league, it's James O'Keefe, okay? You look like this. She's hot, man. She's smoking hot and she's hanging on air every word while you sit there like a goober talking about the first person you shoot. This guy has never held a firearm in his hand his whole life. Not to mention he can't do one sit up and or push up. Ever. Okay, and she's, oh, you're just so, she's right across you looking in your eye, treating you like you're the hottest thing in the world. It's James O'Keefe, okay? I'm trying to help you people out. So there you have it, basically supporting exactly what Harriet Hageman said. You have the IRS doing warrantless searches of your accounts via AI every day. This has to end. This has to end today. It's not 1984. This is the United States of America. Let me show you this. I got a big announcement for you. Fannie T. Willis, in case you missed it, Thursday, February 13th is the inaugural gala. This is from her Twitter page. For the love of justice, get your tickets at Madam DA. This is a district freaking attorney. This is all she is. She's a district attorney. She's not a governor. She's not the president of the United States. She's not even a congressman or woman. She's having a gala. A political gala, and this person's in charge of prosecuting both Democrats and Republicans get a fair shake when she does Democratic Party fundraisers. We can't wait to see you there. Our mistress of ceremonies is the incomparable Jasmine Crockett.
Ugh.
Formal attire required theme, black, gold, or pink. Look at this thing in the bottom. Look at this whole thing. Absolutely for the love of justice from the most corrupt DA in America. I have to show you this. Denise video, let's go right to that one, Will. Through Judicial Watch, just talking about monetary corruption here, that Chelsea Clinton's wedding was actually paid for by the Clinton Foundation. How'd that work out? Play it for me.
And Bill and Hillary Clinton also putting out their own statements against the president, but are they forgetting about allegations that the Clinton Foundation scammed funds from countries, poor countries like Haiti, for personal gain?
Joining us with his thoughts on this is President of Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton. Tom, thanks for being here this morning. So we know that the Clinton Foundation paid $3 million for Chelsea Clinton's wedding, but what do we know about, as far as details about what they did or did not do in Haiti?
Well, you know, Chelsea Clinton's wedding was back in 2010, which was the year of the earthquake. And the allegation was that foundation resources were used for Chelsea Clinton's wedding, which took place that year. And this allegation was made by Doug Band, who was one of Clinton's associates, was actually one of the top officials at the Clinton Foundation, who was yelling at Chelsea for even raising questions about doing an investigation about how foundation resources were being used. And he said, well, what about your resources being used for your wedding?
Tom,
and
I mean,
on top of that, the foundation...
500 homes were supposed to be built, $10 million was supposed to be spent properly. I mean, real lives affected.
Well, that's right. And we wasted most of the money that we spent on Haiti. which was directed more or less by Bill Clinton himself. The documents Judicial Watch has uncovered showed that immediately after the earthquake, the Clinton Foundation called up the State Department. And it looks like subsequently, Hillary Clinton's State Department outsourced our Haiti policy to the foundation, especially in terms of aid. And the problem with the Clinton Foundation is it was an influence peddling operation. So it's no surprise that Haiti got shafted as a result of Bill Clinton's machinations and using the foundation, not necessarily to benefit recipients of funds, but to help the donors to his foundation and those giving him speaking fees. For instance, one of the companies that gave him a speaking fee, the Clinton Foundation advocated on their behalf in Haiti for some cell phone contract. And this problem goes back to the Clinton administration. It began where you had Clinton cronies getting a corrupt telephone contract from the Haitian government almost immediately from the Clinton, once Clinton again invaded Haiti and put in his friends back in power. You need a special counsel alone to investigate the Clinton machine's connections to Haiti.
So the Clinton Foundation was given $37 million for earthquake recovery in Haiti. Now, the same year that this occurred was the same year that Chelsea Clinton was married, and out of that fund came $3 million for her wedding. And what kind of freaking wedding cost $3 million for her wedding? That came out of the Clinton Foundation, which that money was given to the Clinton Foundation for her, for earthquake recovery. And here's how it all worked. You had the Clinton Foundation, which is Bill Clinton and Bill Chelsea and Hillary Clinton, obviously, the Clinton Foundation. That foundation, so you have a Clinton calling a Clinton. What do you mean, Tom? Well, it's simple as this. The Bill and Hillary Clinton Foundation called the State Department. Aaron, who was Secretary of State then?
Oh, Hillary Clinton.
That would be Hillary Clinton. So you have the Clintons calling the Clintons, and a Clinton asking a Clinton, hey, can we handle the Haitian recovery from the earthquake, and can you give us $37 million to do so? Hillary Clinton goes, sure. This is the world that you and I actually live in. And none of it was used for as Pete Hegseth, our now Secretary of Defense, it was supposed to be 500 homes built. None were built. So you have, and then, of course, you have a company that's interested in being the new self-service company in Haiti. So they pay Bill an exorbitant amount to come and give a inspirational speech. And then lo and behold, they get the contract for Haiti after Billy gets paid. Amazing, isn't it? Just like Bill Clinton goes to Moscow and says, you're talking about Uranium One. He gives a $500,000 speech in Moscow. And then lo and behold, Hillary Clinton, who's in charge of the State Department there, oversees the selling of 20% of our enriched uranium to Russia. And it's always Russia, Russia, Russia against Trump. And let me correct one thing I said. I don't know if there was any houses built or not. I said no houses were built. I don't know that. I seriously doubt they were ever built by any Clinton money, but who knows? Maybe they built a couple. Who knows? But anyway, it's just like the Clinton Foundation I talk about all the time, where they raise $30 million. All right, they raise $30 million. They give away five of it, and it took them $25 million to give away five. So that's what this is, how the world works. All right, 10-17. That's good. That's good. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Rumble Rants, Jana Jones, $35. Chopper Supernut, $30. Jules 21 Hours. I don't think I've seen Chopper Supernut for a while. Jules 21 Hours, $10. Tammy L. Margaret, or matriarch of the Rumble Rant. CW, $5. JD Wool, $5. Thank you guys so much in the Rumble Rant. Thank you guys. Love all of you in the chat. We're hardly ever below 1,100 anymore.
Yeah.
All because of you guys. Thank you so much for that. Stick around for the post game. You'll love it. It's awesome stuff. Mainly uplifting. I don't think there's anything super depressing in the post game. Stick around for it. It's awesome. Back here tomorrow night, as always, at 9 o'clock for another stream session. Love you all. See you then.
You are healed. Psalm 103:3. How many of you
have a physical infirmity or a sickness, you are healed. Psalm 103:3, who forgives all your sins and heals all of your diseases. That's the end of it. Anybody who teaches you different is a false teacher, including yourself. If your mind is teaching you different, call out your mind and say, false prophet. But that's not what I've been taught my whole life. I was taught, Tom, to show compassion for the sick. Did Jesus do that? No. Jesus healed the sick. He kicked out the compassionate ones and healed the sick. How much more compassionate can you be than to heal them?
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.